anybody that knows me knows that the last thing I really want is snow falling and having to go out and shovel and buy salt and hire snow plows. That's not my idea of the perfect Christmas. Come on, anybody say amen with me. But my idea, when we talk about a white Christmas, is like everything feeling good. Everything. It's family. It's togetherness. It's coming up a level. It's making our spirit bright. And, you know, so many things happen. And I thank God for social media because it's a way to get to know people, stay in touch with people. I've also found it out to be a way for people to vent their anger over things. This week, a tragedy happened in our community where a six-month-old child lost his life. And a week this Sunday ago, one of the points that I made in having a white Christmas was to trust God with your offenses. Because if you take every hurt and every offense in life, listen to me now, if you take that personally against yourself and you let that work in you, you will become bitter. I talked about where Jesus says offenses will come. The word for offense is a Greek word. The name of it is skandalon. It's a trap that the enemy sets. It's a pit that when you and I are offended, that we fall into the pit and we can't get out. And the offense holds us into that pit. I've been praying. I've been thinking about this. I've been, God, how can we as a church reach out to our city and bring some hope and bring some healing? And not only that, I mean, there's a myriad of things that are going on. People are, you know, losing their lives. We've lost a couple people in the church here in the last few weeks. Billy Trowbridge, Jim McRae, just a little over a week ago. These things hurt people. But the answer is not for us to become bitter and for us to assault with our words and with our actions. Our answer is what the Bible says. Number one, if you want to get past an offense, and I know I'm reiterating this, but I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, I had you share this because of some things that were coming. We need to learn to pray for those who hurt us. We need to pray for those. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you. It's not, and I'm not just going to focus this on what this tragedy, but I want to lift this church to a level that we are praying for our community. We are standing together. And many people say, oh, that's so tragic. You know what's this tragic? I was having this conversation with Chris earlier tonight. Something that is just as tragic is when a man is a father and doesn't live out the role of being a father to his children. And we, as the church, need to help with that. We need to mentor the older guys in here with the gray hair. That's why I say to our leaders, show up, be around, put your hand on some of the young dads. We don't know what people are going through. Come on, are you listening to me? And we need to be men and women of God that will pray and that will love and that will reach out and help those who are hurting. And if you know people that are hurting, let's not wait until something tragically happens to criticize them. Let's sweep in with some love of God and put our arms around them and say, how can we help you? Bless them. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. And you're saying, you know, this just doesn't fit in my program. You're right, it doesn't. This is divinity, not humanity. And if Jesus is going to live inside of you, you can't let humanity rule who you are as a person all the time. You have to let the power of God's Holy Spirit be your guide, be your teacher, and do the things that are contrary to what your nature tells you to do. You can amen me or not, you know I'm right. And then we need to do good. We need to do good. The Bible says when it's in your power to do good and you withhold that, the scripture says that is sin. And what a season. Do you think we have these cards printed out just because we want to have the most people in church? You think that's the motivation from this pastor? Absolutely not. Do I like lots of people around? Absolutely. But my motive goes way deeper than that. My motive goes that maybe someone will come in through those doors on one of these nights or one of these Sundays whose heart is broken, who is on the edge of teetering of doing or committing something that is way out of character for them, and maybe a word, maybe a hug, maybe a hand on a shoulder that they feel at that moment will completely change what their intentions were before they came in. And you know when God changes that? He not only changes them, and some of you can attest to this. See, God just doesn't just change you for the moment. He changes your destiny. He changes the trajectory of your life. Some of you in your life, you were going down. You were going nowhere. And all of a sudden, when Christ comes in and a word comes to your life, he now changes you, and your whole life begins to take a turn for his glory. Come on tonight. That is why we tell others. That is why we reach out to others. That is why you love one another. That's why when you hear, sometimes I get so, it's Thursday night, I can talk the way I want to. I get so tired of churchy kind of people that if this isn't this way or that isn't that way, or if he goes this long or if he sings this song or that song, and that has nothing to do with our walk with Jesus. And our walk with Christ is he saved you, he touched your life, not only for your life to change, for now, for you to be an instrument, you to be his hands and his feet, to go out and touch others, to love others, to say, come on, this is the way, follow me, walk in this way, and God will lift you up as he's lift me up. That's why I am on a passionate pursuit to tell as many people as I can about Jesus Christ, because he changed my life. He completely restored someone who is broken and gave me hope that I can live, and not only that I can live, my children, my grandchildren, and your children and your grandchildren can live for God and have hope for eternity and have hope right on this earth, right here and right now. One of the greatest, when I go to a doctor that I haven't been to before, I've got to go. I've been going to this eye doctor. They're going to do something with my eyes. And I love it when they sit down. Now tell us about your family. Oh, I can't wait. Did your mother or your father? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, my father was an alcoholic. And after my sister died when she was 11... and my brother was killed when I was 11. My dad was an alcoholic and had a nervous breakdown and ended up in a mental institution and came out when I was 13 years old. He died. Oh. And then when I was 17 years old, my mother got cancer and she died. And I was homeless. You see, I don't know about my mother and father's history. Well, how did you make it where you're at now? I'm glad you asked me that question right now. I am so glad. Because this moment might not be just for you to do something for me. It may be for me to do something for you. Come on, that's Christmas. How many of you want a white Christmas? Robin and Lenny, come on up here. Give Robin and Lenny Brill the biggest God bless you that you can possibly give. I haven't even hugged them yet. Come on, you can give them a bigger God bless. You're not too tired. I was going to send you a message and tell you, and I thought, I don't need to tell them. They're God. Leonard.
Hit him first.
Hit me first. Greetings from Singapore. And we are happy to be home. We are happy to be home. So I just want to encourage everyone here. I was thinking about that singing tonight. Oh my gosh, you made a place for me. Oh my God. Genesis 3:9. It started there. God is the initiator. When Adam fell, Genesis 3:9. Adam, where are you? Who came looking for who? And everyone here who has accepted Christ, you all know that. You were not the initiator. He was. He came looking for you. He came looking for me. That's amazing. And you think about Christmas. You think about giving. Man, what else could the guy give? What else could you give? He gave it all. So that he could be in relationship with us. That's just amazing stuff. That's just amazing stuff. And I want to encourage someone here tonight that if you're struggling, if there's an area of struggle in your life, that somehow, I don't know what it is, but in that struggle, somehow you're loving that thing more than you love Jesus. And I want to encourage you that if you're struggling there, you just ask Christ, somehow, Jesus, make yourself, reveal something about you to me that shows me that I can love you more than I love that thing. That whatever that thing is, and I don't know what it is, it could be whatever. We all got stuff. So I just want to encourage you that you know, take that thought. I don't, you know, because I just think that, you know, how much more could he love us? How much more could he do for us? And then this silly thing, you know, and after we give into that thing, whatever it is, if it's anger or if it's drugs or if it's sex or pornography or whatever that thing is, when we give into it, we're disappointed. God loves you still, but we're disappointed. So before you do that thing, you know, arm yourself in the morning. Get up early in the morning. Pray. And I've been praying for a while now. And it's you know, God, somehow make me love you more than the things of this world. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, if we're going to live victorious, if we're going to, you know, live righteously, you know, just David, the guy who suffered with this mortal coil. Oh, Psalm 34, I want to read a little bit to you. Come to you, starting in verse, where is this? I got so many marks in my Bible, I can't even tell which one. I think it's verse 11. But, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongues from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. He makes us righteous. We don't make us righteous. We bring the sinner. He brings the Savior. Okay? So all we got to bring is a corrupt sinner, and he does the rest, okay? So pretty good equation for us, okay? But the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now, that's not our choice to make. That guy's evil. God doesn't like him. He's going to cut him off. That's not our choice, okay? That's his, you know. He knows who will come and who will not, but our job is to represent him, okay? The righteous cry out to the Lord, and he hears. He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So just an encouragement to you all this season. Let's grasp that gift. Let's work in that freedom that we have in Christ, what he's given us. And, you know, I didn't plan to do this, Marty, but just encourage you, all of us. And, wow, what a sweet spirit here tonight. Yeah. Just loving it. This is great. This is home. You know, so.
I always love to hear what you're going to say. So this morning, we're sitting across from each other. He's reading Psalms. I'm reading 2 Corinthians. And we're trying to just do our own study, but we can't stop talking to each other and to sing, you know. But you kind of took what I was going to say, partly. I was just going to say, yeah, I know. Yeah, we're doing well, and we're really grateful. But, you know, we're really aware that we all go through our struggles. So we're doing well now, but we have friends who are suffering greatly. And so we just want to be reminded that this season we should be encouraging and really loving. That's what I was reading about in Corinthians. And it's like, you never grow weary of being encouraged, do you? Or hearing, you know, you can do it, come on. So I think, you know, we have a similar message. It's about comfort and encouragement. And, yeah, it is just like home being here. And, yeah, I feel very tender to be here. Okay, that's enough.
I love it when they break down and cry. I love you.
Love you, Lex.
These two are so special to us, to Patty and I, and to this church. We love you. We're so glad to see you. And they're going to be next door, so you can rub up. That sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? You can talk to them.
Yeah.
And you can bless them. Hey. Been good to be in God's house tonight. Now listen, I'm going to pray. I'm even going to pray for the food here. And then what you can do is you can go out the back, and it's warm enough tonight, even if you want to go out that side door right there. When it's really cold out, we don't like to use these side doors because it's like a vacuum when it goes out there, and I'm a stickler for utility bills. I despise them. So, but tonight it's not too bad. Just be careful. It was a little freezing rain out there. Don't run across. Going to be plenty of food. So for those of you that don't maybe know, it's right in the Generation Center, right across the parking lot. There's a big overhead door, and just to the left of that, go right in that door. Let's pray together tonight. Let's love one another. Let's forgive. Let's believe God to do something great in this season for our lives, for our homes, our families, our church, our community. Father, I thank you tonight for your kindness. Lord, I do thank you for the sweet spirit that is in this house tonight. Lord, it's your tender mercy. It's your love. It's nothing that anybody can do on their own, and it's nothing that we can manufacture. It's your Holy Spirit, God. And for that, we thank you. We honor you, Lord. I pray that you will bless the fellowship tonight, together, the food, and Lord, that it'll be a moment, a night that'll encourage many. Do it for your glory, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I have one more thing to tell you. Next door, too, we had some things, little gifts given to us. I believe Kathy will be over there to help you. I just want you to, there's many there. They're not for us all to take armfuls. Just take a couple of them, and it's just a blessing from us to you tonight, okay? I love you. Go in God's grace. Shoot right across there. Don't talk in here. Talk next door. It's all ready for you, okay? I love you.